Hello and welcome to AZO Nano News for the week commencing the 20th of October 2008. My name is Stuart Cameron. This episode of AZO Nano News is brought to you by Malvern Instruments, a world leader in innovative solutions for material characterization challenges. In this edition of AZO Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear about a nano machine that's been taught to swim, how jellyfish are helping to overcome diseases of the brain, and how researchers have discovered that DNA is actually much softer than it appears. In this week's AZO Nano interview, Cameron Chai speaks with Dr. Adil Adamji from AVT Services about their soon-to-be-released ALD and its key features that make it stand out from other systems on the market. These stories and more in this edition of AZO Nano News. A study undertaken by researchers from the University of Alcala shows that if the superpolluters, the high-polluting vehicles, such as certain buses and lorries in poor condition, were removed, pollution from nanoparticles could be reduced by up to 25 and 48% depending on the parameter analysed. These minute particles cause serious health problems. The new study confirms that the superpolluters are, by far, the vehicles that emit the largest amount of nanoparticles. The report concludes that were these vehicles removed from the flow of traffic, the total active surface concentration of the nanoparticles could be reduced by up to 25%. The study has focused on distinguishing and quantifying which types of vehicles have a higher emission rate of nanoparticles, namely the ultra-fine ones, less than 100 nanometers in size, that are implicated in the development of different diseases. Their reduced size enables them to be distributed within the body with hardly any detection by the defences of the organism, and can even cross the cell membranes. The researchers have noted that one of the main emission sources of these ultrafine particles comes from diesel-powered vehicles. Researchers have created a new material that overcomes two of the major obstacles to solar power. It absorbs all the energy contained in sunlight and generates electrons in a way that makes them easier to capture. Ohio State University chemists and their colleagues combined electrically conductive plastic with metals, including molybdenum and titanium, to create the hybrid material. Sunlight contains the entire spectrum of colours that can be seen with the naked eye, all the colours of the rainbow. What our eyes interpret as colour are really different energy levels, or frequencies of light. Today's solar cell materials can only capture a small range of frequencies, so they can only capture a small fraction of the energy contained in sunlight. This new material is the first that can absorb all the energy contained in visible light at once. The material generates electricity just like other solar cell materials do. Light energises the atoms of the material, and some of the electrons in those atoms are knocked loose. In the new hybrid material, electrons remain free much longer than ever before. The DNA's double helix, the sub-microscopic core of our life, has been the subject of intense study and scrutiny for decades. Observations and measurements at the scale of DNA are tricky. The distance between the rungs in DNA's ladder, or base pairs, for example, was thought to be barely over 0.03 millimetre. This ladder has been typically assumed to be very rigid. But now, a team of Stanford scientists, supported in part by the National Science Foundation, have used a novel molecular ruler to cast doubts on this picture. Using this molecular ruler, they marked each end of a snippet of DNA with electron-dense gold nanocrystals. These markers scattered X-rays directed at the sample differently than the rest of the molecule and allowed for a more precise calculation. The observations led the Stanford team to discover that DNA is much softer than previously thought. Variation, both compression and stretching, was observed. Most surprisingly, the team found that if a base pair had compressed, the base pairs in at least two of the next turns of the double helix were more likely to be compressed as well. These observations have important ramifications for biologists looking at proteins binding to DNA, such as transcription factors regulating gene expression. Yeah. Decades of research into the chemistry behind the colourful luminescent glow of jellyfish have resulted in several major advances in the field of biotechnology and recently earned three research scientists a 2008 Nobel Prize in Chemistry. But according to one scientist, the contributions to science and medicine made by the three prize-winning researchers may be much greater than first realised. Mark Underwood believes that their work has unearthed a possible key for halting the onset and progression of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and other neurodegenerative diseases. In 1962, researcher Osamu Shimomura discovered a protein within the jellyfish which glowed in the presence of calcium. This glowing protein, which Shimomura named aquarin, has since become one of the most important tools in biochemistry because of its ability to attach itself to other biochemical components. But Underwood says that the glowing protein's ability to bind itself to calcium may prove to be a far greater asset for scientists than its use as a colourful tagging mechanism. According to Underwood, this protein, with its ability to bind to and lower calcium levels, can be used as a replacement for our own missing calcium-binding proteins and thereby slow age-related loss of cognitive function, memory and alertness. Researchers at the National Institute of Standards and Technology and JILA, a joint institute of the NIST and the University of Colorado at Boulder, have made the first tunable, noiseless amplifier. By significantly reducing the uncertainty in delicate measurements of microwave signals, the new amplifier could boost the speed and precision of quantum computing and communication systems. Conventional amplifiers add unwanted noise or random fluctuations when they measure and boost electromagnetic signals. Amplifiers that theoretically add no noise have been demonstrated before, but the JILA NIST technology offers better performance and is the first to be tunable, operating between 4 and 8 gigahertz. It's also the first amplifier of any type ever to boost signals sufficiently to overcome noise generated by the next amplifier in a series along a signal path. Noisy amplifiers force researchers to make repeated measurements of, for example, the delicate quantum states of microwave fields, that is, the shape of the waves as measured in amplitude or power and phase or point in time when each wave begins. The rules of quantum mechanics say that the noise in amplitude and phase can't both be zero. But the JILA NIST amplifier exploits a loophole stipulating that if you work with only one, phase, and ignore amplitude, then the amplifier is theoretically capable of adding no noise. University of Arizona scientists experimenting with some of the coldest gases in the universe have discovered that when atoms in a gas get cold enough, they can spontaneously spin up into what might be described as quantum mechanical twisters or hurricanes. The surprising experimental results agree with independent numerical simulations produced by collaborating scientists at the University of Queensland in Australia. The results are of great interest because they reveal something fundamentally new about certain kinds of phase transitions, and nature is replete with phase transitions. Common phase transitions include liquid water freezing to ice or liquid water boiling to steam. Another common phase transition occurs in proteins when raw eggs are cooked. More exotic examples of phase transitions include the cooling of materials until they become superconductors and, on the scale of the universe, the phase transition that transformed the early universe from a hot, dense system born from the Big Bang into the universe with protons, electrons, structure and forces observed today. A team of researchers in Canada has made a bold stride in the struggle to detect dark matter. The Picasso collaboration has documented the discovery of a significant difference between the acoustic signals induced by neutrons and alpha particles in a detector based on superheated liquids. Since neutron-induced signals are very similar to dark matter-induced signals, this new discovery could lead to improved background suppression in dark matter searches with this type of detector. So far, alpha particles have been an obstacle to the detection of dark matter's weakly interactive massive particles, or WIMPs, in Picasso. This detector, which is based on the operation principle of the classic bubble chamber, is sensitive to alpha particles over exactly the same temperature and energy range. therefore making it very difficult to discriminate between the two types of particles. The Canadian-American-Czech team, based at Snow Lab, using their Picasso detector, experimented with very sensitive fluorine-based superheated liquids and analysed acoustic signals following phase transitions induced by alpha particles and WIMP-like neutron-induced recoil nuclei. To their surprise, they found a significant difference in amplitudes of the acoustic signals, which has never before been observed. Ayushman Sen, head of the Department of Chemistry at Penn State, makes tiny metallic objects do something extraordinary. He makes them swim. Sen's work is driven by catalysis, the chemical phenomenon whereby a substance accelerates a chemical reaction but emerges unchanged at the end of the process. The chemical reaction upon which he and his team of students and colleagues focus their efforts is the well-known redox reaction, in which electrons and protons are broken away from their parent atoms and are pumped back and forth between substances, resulting in the liberation of energy during the process. That energy manifests itself as an electrical gradient in the fluid surrounding a microparticle or nanomotor. Frequently, the motor is one of the group's two micron-long platinum-gold nanorods. In most cases, the fluid starts out as a dilute solution of hydrogen peroxide, which, upon being catalytically oxidized by the platinum tip of a nanorod, results in oxygen and also electrons and protons that flow from bow to stern. Electrons inside the rod and an equal number of proteins in the fluid along the outside of the rod. At the stern, the electrons and protons catalytically reduce hydrogen peroxide to water. Protons flowing from stem to stern function like paddles, propelling the nanorod towards its platinum forward end, or if the nanorod is stationary, pumping water around it towards the aft end. This episode of Azo Nano News is brought to you by Malvern Instruments, a world leader in innovative solutions for material characterization challenges. In the last 1.5 months, Malvern has introduced 3 exciting new products for characterizing nanomaterials. The Malvern Kinexus rheometer is taking the rheology field by storm by offering more rheology, less effort. The Zetasizer UV offers industry-leading sensitivity for measuring biomolecule size even when the smallest of sample volumes are available. The Zetasizer APS is an automated DLS system for measuring 96 or 384 protein samples automatically from industry-standard well plates. In this week's Azo Nano interview, Cameron Chai speaks to Dr. Adil Adamji from AVT Services about their soon-to-be-released ALD and its key features that make it stand out from other systems on the market.
This is Cameron Chai from azonano.com, and I'm speaking to Dr. Adil Adamji from AVT Services, where he's the National Marketing Manager. How are you today, Dr. Adamji?
I'm great, thanks, Cameron. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. So tell me, what do AVT Services do?
AVT Services is Australia's foremost supplier of high vacuum systems and equipment associated with a vacuum, head office in Sydney and branch offices in Melbourne, Brisbane and Perth and Adelaide. It was founded in 1991. We've also got a sales manager in Europe looking after the nanotechnology side of the business that we currently support.
And I've heard you've been working on a unique ALD, atomic layer deposition system. Where did that work originally start?
We were approached by ANSTO in Australia, Australian National Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation at Lucas Heights, who wanted us to develop a control system to control their in-house built ALD chamber. The ALD valves and the control of the precursors is very, very precise and unique. You've got to do it very carefully, and we have a software engineer based in Brisbane who developed a control system for them, and it's now been successfully installed, and they are very, very pleased with the work we've carried out. So that's how the initial work started on the ALD side of business.
And the ALD system that you've been working on, what are the main features of your ALD system?
Our system can deposit a wide range of materials. It's got a very small footprint. You can take various size wafers, 6 to 8 inch. You can also put in small pieces of wafers as well. And the beauty of our whole system is you can easily execute the recipe. You can change the recipe parameters via the software control that we have. And, you know, in a research organization, that would be an ideal thing to have, to be able to change your recipes whenever you want to actually produce any different materials that you want.
There are a few other commercially available ALD systems in the market already. What makes your system special? Why would someone consider buying one of your units over one of the other existing models?
We have put a lot of effort and thought into developing our own system, and we've put in a special in-situ monitoring devices for gas and processes within our ALD system for thin film monitoring while you're depositing the film, and that helps, you know, in us being unique in this particular field.
Why is it so important to be able to monitor these processes in situ as opposed to analysing the finished product, for instance?
When the actual thin film is deposited, it's very important for people who are in the research field to understand what's actually happening with the chemistry of the coating when it's deposited in terms of thin film coating. In most chemical reactions, once you remove your wafer, deposit it out into the atmosphere, you've basically changed the properties of the film, so the atmospheric oxygen would have, or nitrogen would have reacted with the film and changed the properties. Whereas if you're monitoring the film while it's being deposited in the vacuum chamber, it helps you understand the coating properties much better.
And the ALD deposition process is a chemical vapor deposition type process. Being able to monitor what is going on in the chamber, like what precursor gases are present or what they're doing, is that quite important?
That's correct. While you are depositing the actual film, it's a chemical reaction. So when you, for example, depositing an aluminium oxide layer or titanium dioxide layer, you want to find out whether the chemical process has fully completed, or what sort of precursor, you know, the byproducts are being taken off. So you want to monitor what gases are being removed as a byproduct. So all that is very important, and you don't want to sort of exhaust any poisonous gases into the atmosphere as well. So all that is very important when you're developing a particular coating film.
And for anybody out there who's not familiar with the ALD process, what are the applications of ALD technology?
There are several applications. You can actually make wear resistance coatings, diffusion barriers within electrical conduct, you know, like capacitors or superconductors. You can use the coatings for gas sensors. You can use thin film for optics, for ophthalmic coating is currently a new development. Coatings against corrosions, nano laminates, and there's a lot of research going on right now to use ALD for solar cells.
So you could say it's a very versatile process that has a lot of potential commercial applications?
That's right, and the beauty of ALD is it produces very uniform coating, so it helps in sort of getting it right first time.
Being able to control the properties of the coatings as well, I suppose.
That's correct.
And the technology that you're developing, or the system that you're developing, can that be scaled up to a production-sized unit?
Yeah, the technology has the potential to be scaled up. AVT is currently concentrating on a research-based system. The first system that we have developed is for a research-based tool. There are certain, obviously, applications like a large area coatings, which are currently new in this particular market and may not be able to scale up, but yeah, there is potential to be scaled up to production.
The unit that you're currently developing is a lab-sized unit for researchers. When do you expect it to be ready for market?
We're currently aiming to launch it. AVT is going to be exhibiting at the Japanese Nanotech Conference in February. We hope to get it finished by then and launch it in full-scale commercial product.
All right, so for anybody out there who might be attending Nanotech 2009 in Japan, I suggest you keep an eye out for the AVT services stand at Nanotech and speak to the staff on the stand about what their new ALD system can do for you. Okay, Dr. Adamji, thanks very much for your time, and we hope that your new ALD system is a complete success.
Thank you very much, Cameron. Nice talking to you.
Azonano Business News. ASM International today announced that it's finalised the sale of its interest in Nanophotonics AG, a company engaged in defect measurement equipment for the semiconductor industry, to Rickmar of Austria. This divestiture is part of ASMI's plan to focus on its core wafer processing portfolio strengths, as outlined in its roadmap to front-end peer group profitability. Altair Nanotechnologies Incorporated, a leading provider of advanced materials and products for power and energy systems, today announced the execution of an agreement for a $10 million private placement of its common stock to Al Yosef LLC and resolution of their potential claims associated with their 2007 investment. In November 2007, Altair announced the completion of a $40 million private placement with Al Yosef LLC. JPK Instruments is pleased to announce a workshop to be held on Tuesday, 2nd of December at the Oxford Science Park. This free workshop combines presentations on cutting-edge applications and new instrumental breakthroughs from leading research groups and JPK application scientists. Topics will include single-molecule imaging, molecular recognition, cell adhesion, cytomechanics, trapping and tracking nanoparticle interactions. Practical demonstrations and advice on imaging and force spectroscopy techniques will additionally include new technology to quantify single-cell adhesion processes and signalling pathways. Goodfellow Cambridge Limited offers more than 200 metals and materials in powdered form for use by researchers and design engineers. Particle sizes range from 0.08 microns to 850 microns. In addition to pure metals, alloys, ceramics, polymers and compounds, a number of custom-made alloys are available in powdered form. Various techniques can be employed for the manufacture of these materials, the composition of which can be specified to individual requirements. American Elements announced the further expansion of its bismuth metal facilities to meet growing demand for the metal in non-lead bullets and ammunition. The new production capacity will affect deliveries beginning in October 2008. Recent changes in state and local laws requiring that lead-free projectiles be used for hunting game in certain restricted areas has increased demand for various forms of the metal, including shot, granules, and needles. American Elements now offers all three in 99%, 99.9%, and 99.99% purities. SUS Microtech, a supplier of innovative solutions for the 3D, MEMS, advanced packaging and nanotechnology markets, announced today that the capabilities of its manual mask aligners are now enhanced with a new nano imprint toolkit that enables them to pattern large areas with repeatable sub-50 nanometer printing capability. This new technology, called Substrate Conformal Imprint Lithography, has been developed by Philips Research, Eindhoven, the Netherlands, and transferred to SUS Microtech in a technology license agreement. Particle Sciences announced today that it sold T-Coat, its proprietary line of microfine titanium dioxide, to Sensient. With the sale, Sensient assumes all marketing and sales responsibilities and acquires the associated trademarks and existing business. Particle Sciences will remain involved during the transition for technical support. The sale does not result in any change to the product, its specifications or method, and location of manufacture. Well, that was AzoNano News for the week commencing the 20th of October 2008. This episode of AzoNano News is brought to you by Malvern Instruments, the leading supplier of particle size analyzers in the world. For an online catalogue and this month's focused product, go to malvern.com. Malvern Instruments is a world leader in providing innovative solutions for material characterization challenges, specifically for particle characterization, rheology, and analytical imaging. Take advantage of the information-rich website and access to the many technical papers, webinars and on-demand presentations at www.malvern.com. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To read expanded versions of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.